I'm Catherine Lanfer.
And I'm Femi Okay. Neither of us are John Hockenberry or Adora Udeji. We're the sitting team this morning. And we're also talking about anxiety and hope. That could be the description for the control room this morning, but it's not. We're talking about how is the recession making you feel? You know the number, 1-877-8-MY-TAKE, or you can email us your anxiety and hopeful stories at mytake@thetakeaway.org. Catherine.
Now, anxiety and hope, I think, also sums up how the two sides are feeling these days on the debate over gay marriage. In the past week, proponents have seen victories for their cause in Iowa, Vermont, and Washington, D.C. But no matter where you stand on the issue, it definitely feels like the ground is moving. This morning, we're going to take time to talk to both sides to get a sense of how they're mapping out their next steps on what seems to be a shifting landscape. We're going to start with Matt Coles. He's director of the ACLU's Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender Project, and we would like to start with you by asking, how does this work as a pivot point for your movement the last week?
I don't think the last week is a pivot point, but what it is the movement for gay marriage is following a classic American pattern. And the classic American pattern is you make change in the most progressive states, sort of one by one. At some point, you begin to make some changes at the federal level and then kind of move into the more moderate and more conservative states. And what I think we've seen is, having suffered a bad defeat in California in November with Proposition 8 overruling the state Supreme Court, I think these two moves, Iowa and Vermont, have significantly re-energized the movement.
Now, polling shows that many Americans don't actually favor gay marriage. They favor civil unions. Why fight so hard for this particular distinction of marriage over a civil union?
Well, I mean, in the end, you sort of, if a civil union amounts to saying, well, we'll give you exactly the same legal treatment that we give to married couples, we just won't give you the name, then the question becomes, well, why not? And the only answer to that is because, well, we want to make a statement that we think your relationships really aren't as good, really aren't the same. And we say you should never use the government or public policy to make a statement like that, to make a statement that one group of Americans is less worthy and less good. I mean, it matters. This is the institution to which the country has built the social structure for a couple, the legal structure for couples, and it matters that equality, fairness means you treat everybody the same, you go into one institution. And in terms of the way Americans feel, I mean, this is how change happens in America. We're a broadly diverse country. Whenever there's a significant change, whether we're talking about child labor laws, sex discrimination, race discrimination, there's always a group of Americans who say, the time for fairness and equality is now, and a group of Americans who say, maybe we're not quite there yet, maybe we need to take a little longer. So this is, again, a classic pattern.
The time for fairness and equality. What's interesting is that both you and our next guest coming up, Maggie Gallagher, are sort of making the same points. Your movements are making the same points, that personal liberties are being affected by the opposing group. How do you respond to that?
Well, look, we have a section in our Constitution that preserves free exercise of religion. We have civil rights laws at the federal level and at the state level that protects free exercise of religion. Nobody, least of all the American Civil Liberties Union, is going to say that religious people should be forced to do things that their conscience objects to in a religious context. And it's a completely mythical fear. Look, we've had laws on marital status discrimination in the United States for 25, 30 years. Nobody's ever forced the Catholic Church to marry somebody who was previously married, and we all know that. No one would ever try to force the Catholic Church to do that. The notion that churches are going to be forced to do things they don't want to do if same-sex couples are allowed to marry is just a myth.
Well, of course, the National Organization for Marriage released a video this week, part of a $1.5 million campaign, in which they have people very movingly speak about very real fears they have, that in fact it won't be a myth, that they are going to encounter or have already encountered restrictions on their beliefs.
Well, I don't doubt that the fears are real. I mean, you know, people fear that the President of the United States is going to make this into a Muslim country. I don't think those fears are substantiated. And I think when people say, well, look, this happened, that happened, they attempt to make factual arguments in support of fears like that. I actually think it's the responsibility of the news media to do some fact checking. And I think if they fact check that ad, they'd find that the things that are talked about in the ad didn't happen the way they're represented to happen. You know, California said to a doctor, if you want to practice medicine in California, you have to agree to take in anyone, regardless of race, color, religion, or national origin. And that's all that happened in that case.
All right. And, of course, if anyone wants to listen to that video or that ad, they can go to our website, thetakeaway.org. Matt Coles, I'm going to have to bid you adieu, but I thank you for coming in. And we're going to turn to Maggie Gallagher. She is the president of the National Organization for Marriage, and she joins us by phone. Thanks for joining us, Maggie.
Great to be here. Thank you.
As I was saying to Matt, some people see this week as a pivot point. Wondering if you see this week as a pivot point and what your next steps are.
Well, as I think you said, the latest poll from CBS News shows that only 33% of Americans support same-sex marriage. So what hasn't pivoted is the opinions of the American people on marriage. And there's an awful lot of us out there that wish, our fellow citizens who are gays and lesbians well, and we're sympathetic to the idea of benefits. But we think marriage means a man and a woman. And I'll tell you why I think that. I think it's important because there's only one institution that we have that's about bringing together the two great halves of humanity, male and female, so that children can know and be known by and love and be loved by their own mother and father. And the word for that is marriage. And if our government starts teaching our children and grandchildren that two men or two women in a union are a marriage and that you're engaging in discrimination, you know, as Matt said, you're like people who oppose child labor laws. If you think marriage means a man and a woman, that was a new one on me. Then there won't be any institution that's about it. This, you know, marriage has its own dignity and mission. It's not rooted in animus or discrimination towards anyone. And, you know, the needs of gay and lesbian citizens, there are other strategies for trying to pursue them.
You know, as I also said to Matt, it strikes me that both sides here are waging a campaign in which they are talking about individual freedoms and liberties, the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. So you say, well, I wish lesbians and gays well. But, of course, what they're hearing is you are taking away their chance to have a meaningful life.
Well, I don't think that same-sex unions are marriages. I think the government can declare that. I mean, the courts can say that. But it doesn't change. I think this is what a lot of Americans are objecting to. So it's not how you live your life privately. It's how the government is going to define marriage for all of us that's at stake here. And when you make an equality argument, when you say, I have a right because to redefine our most basic institution for protecting children, the reality is that if you're going to claim that that's an equality right, which I disagree, I just don't think that treating different things differently is discrimination. But if you're going to make that claim, you have to acknowledge that that's going to impinge on the freedoms of other people to disagree. Because, you know, you can't go around saying that people like me who think marriage or the husband and wife are like people who opposed interracial marriage.
Why not?
Well, you can't say that and then say no one is going to be affected, okay? Because we don't think about how we treat bigots who oppose interracial marriage in this country. We don't. We don't let openly racist people have professional licenses. We don't let them run accredited school programs. We don't let them have tax-exempt charities. And, you know, in this country, all of that has been litigated, and the First Amendment doesn't protect from that. So I think that is a growing concern among religious liberty scholars and among regular Americans. Is this really about letting two people live their private life the way they choose? I don't think so. I think, you know, when the definition of marriage changes, it's going to change for everyone. Why is it not like race? I'll tell you the big difference. The laws against interracial marriage were about keeping two races separate so that one race could oppress the other, and that was bad. Marriage is about bringing together men and women so that children can know and be known by their own mother and father, and that's good. I think it's just apples and oranges to
All
make
right.
that comparison.
Maggie Gallagher, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
That's Maggie Gallagher, president of the National Organization for Marriage.